This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 30th, 2020 edition of Invest Talk. And yep, right around the corner tomorrow, actually, we are heading into the final month of this tumultuous year. Tumultuous? I'm having a tough time. It's Monday. I appreciate you all for tuning in today. I probably ate a little too much Thanksgiving turkey and many sides, and I hope you guys all had a wonderful holiday. And if you traveled, hope you stayed safe, took the proper precautions, and I hope it gave you a chance to connect with your families and reflect on the year. Right, even though we have a month left, the vast majority of it is behind us, and many aspects of 2020 have caused people to be anxious. And we don't know when a vaccine will actually be released to kind of bring the world back to somewhat normal. But the markets are starting to look ahead and plan ahead. And that's what you should be doing. Looking forward, not backwards. I know it's still a tough time, but when you're investing, that's the way you have to think about it. Our markets look forward 6-9 months ahead. And that's why you're starting to see a little bit of a change of flavor to this market. And the themes that you've seen over the past 9 months or so are starting to reverse to some degree. And so you have to be prepared for the shift, for the change in how the market regime is changing. Not all markets are the same. How you make money in one market is often very different than how you make money in future markets or previous markets, right? Where the economic dynamics are different, the valuation dynamics are different, the investor sentiment dynamics are different. And those are just a few of the factors that go into what works in today's market. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and on today's show and in this program and podcast, I am going to do my best to provide you with unbiased answers to help you navigate this new regime. Give you unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions and help you develop those strategies that work for you and your goals and your current life situation. So I am here right now taking your calls at 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's check in on the market today. You have the S&P down about 17 points, about a half a percent. Sell-off early in the day, and then we kind of a decent rally through most of the after or late morning and afternoon. And then if you look at the NASDAQ, that was down about 7 points, very modest down day. The Russell actually had probably the worst day of the major indexes, closed near the low as well. So there's still a lot of market gyrations that are playing out based on headline news around COVID, a vaccine, around new cases, around the new administration and who the appointees will be and how that will shape policy. I think that's part of it as well. So I expect actually a rocky December as those things continue to rear their ugly head, right? Where new data comes in and the market gyrates because of it. Now, as you can hear, I have a busy and information-packed podcast for you today, so let's get right to our first caller at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. It's Robert over in Rosemead, California. I had a question that I've been asking myself a lot recently. I'm a 28-year-old long-term investor, and I wanted to know, does a stock like Barrick Gold, ticker symbol gold, have a place in my portfolio? And this is a question I've been asking myself a lot, and I want to add gold at these levels. It seems pretty cheap at these levels. If you can please let me know your answer in the show, I'll give it a listen. Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. I think gold especially has a place in everyone's portfolio at this point. Even if it's just a small amount. Even if you're a relatively conservative investor. Gold's an inflation hedge. Right? It's a hedge against monetary debasement. And I think every portfolio needs that, can use that, especially longer term. I've said this before. I believe gold would be the best asset, best returning asset category of the decade, of the 2020s. Now you might say, well, that could be Bitcoin. Eh, could be. Could be individual stock. Sure, there's going to be individual stocks that do much better. But talking as an asset class. And I think Barrick, definitely one of the better miners out there. We own it for some clients. And great levels. Great levels here to pick it up. So even if you're a younger investor, I still think this is a great place to be and a very strong buying opportunity after this recent pullback. So thanks for the call. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, and we can all probably do a better job of managing risk, balancing our assets in our portfolio, creating proper diversification and exposure to the right areas that are going to do well in a decade where there's going to be ups and downs. I feel like the year 2020 is going to be a microcosm of the decade of the 2020s. Some rough times, some good times, a lot of changes, a lot of issues that need to be resolved, both socially, economically, and you need to be prepared for what is coming. So my job is to help give you the right information and perspective and help you develop effective strategies. Now you can deal with volatility if you know how to recognize it properly, right? Risk comes in many forms. It's not just one type of risk. So that's my job here, is to help you find the opportunities, but also bring a balanced perspective of what the risks are. That's what any decision in life is about, right? Pros and cons. So I want to hear from you. Your participation is an important part of the mix. We're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
You can get your free InvestTalk podcast downloads anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or InvestTalk.com. Be sure to tell your friends and family members about InvestTalk and encourage them to listen, rate, and review.
Let's go to James in Sonoma looking at Hormel Foods. You looking to buy it or do you own it?
I'm looking to question it. I read a lot of these, like Kiplinger and all these magazines that says the 20 best dividend stocks to own forever. And Hormel is up in a lot. I've never really looked at it before, but it's got a 2% dividend, and it raises its dividend by, better than 10% every time. And it's at a low point right now, although it's got a little high P&E. I just wondering what your opinion of it. I'd put it in IRA and just would never do anything with it.
We'd
be there for years.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I do like Hormel as a company. It's one of the largest meat producers in the world, processed meat producers in the world. And we have owned this in the past for clients. My issue is right now the valuation is just much too high. Our fair value is in the mid-30s, which is, you know, around where we had bought it for clients. But at these levels, we had been out of it for a little bit of time now. And it's come down, right, from its 52-week high around 52 and change, and now we're at 47. But to me, my fair value is about 35. So still about a third lower from here. And technically, if you look at it, just made a lower high and a lower low. And if you mentioned the P ratio, which is 28 currently, even if you look forward, this is a pretty low growth company. 7% expected earnings growth next year, 5% the year after, trading at 28 times earnings. It's just too rich for my blood at these levels. So I like the company. We like the company. It's just too expensive for the growth or lack thereof that you're getting in this name. So I like that it's on your watch list. But of all the names, all the solid quality dividend paying names that are out there, this is not one of them. If you're looking for something like that, I would look in the industrial space. I think that, to me, I'm finding the best values, the best companies that have great long-term track records, right, when it comes to earnings, dividends, profitability, etc. Near-term, their business has been wrecked and impaired for a short period of time, but that's just because of the shutdowns and COVID. And long-term, their business model is intact, and I'm finding the most opportunity there. You're going to get a better yield than 2%. You're going to get much cheaper valuations based on long-term expected profitability and earnings growth. So Hormel's fine to have on your watch list, but I would need at least 30% lower from here to get even interested in picking it up. Thanks for the call. Now, my focus point today concerns the story. The Federal Reserve and UK regulators say a key bank lending rate will be phased out. We're going to talk about LIBOR, what it's going to be replaced with, and what that might mean for borrowing rates in the marketplace. Also, I want to touch on the November rally, right? We just wrapped up November, even though we had a slight down day. Historically, this was a record month for many indices, and I'm going to talk about those numbers and what that means going forward based on what history says, right, in those type of extreme moves. Next, healthcare spending. Where will money be allocated? Right, we know that governments are likely to spend more money on healthcare, especially two reasons. One, COVID, right? The focus more on health and wellness and treating disease, but also baby boomers. They're retiring at record numbers. And that means more people on government healthcare programs, right? And you have politics in this country that are moving towards more government role in healthcare. And you can figure out for yourself whether you think that's a good thing or not. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm just telling you what the trends are. So we're going to touch on where money is likely to flow. And then lastly, Janet Yellen said that she supports a carbon tax. She has been tabbed as the next Treasury Secretary under the Biden administration. So we're going to touch on that as well. If we have time. Now, every now and then, I'd like to take a few minutes to remind you that here on InvestTalk and at my company, KPP Financial, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. That's what we do each and every day. We provide unbiased guidance and we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So if you need a second look at your portfolio, a second opinion, I encourage you to take advantage of our offer for a free portfolio review assessment via telephone, Skype, or Jive meetings. You can also send us a message through investtalk.com or call our KPP Financial offices in Irvine, California at 800-557-5461. But now we're heading into a break and the phone lines are open, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
You heard about Riskalyze. It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Let's go to Emilios in San Francisco looking at Freeport McMoRan.
How are you, sir, Justin?
I'm good, Emilios. How you been?
Yeah. I'm fine. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one.
I did.
And we're gonna make you Sifco of gold, because that's a stock I've been following. I want to know your thoughts.
Freeport? Well, Freeport is the world's largest copper miner. They do have some gold exposure there. But, you know, this is actually a name on our watch list. It is a little overbought at these levels, around 24. I'm looking for something a little sub 20. But I like Freeport. I like copper in general. The demand on copper is going to increase, I think, for the foreseeable future. Because of green energy, electric cars, et cetera, the use of copper is likely to go much, much higher. And so I like the copper industry, and Freeport is the largest. So and one of probably the best run. It's arguable, but I think they're very good. So I like Freeport. Once again, a little overbought, but definitely should be on your watch list.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you, Emilios. My focus point today concerns the story of the Federal Reserve and the UK regulators say the key bank lending rate will be phased out, and that is LIBOR. And as of 2023, LIBOR will be no more. Now, LIBOR stands for London Interbank Offer Rate, and this became popular as a benchmark for borrowing rates in the 70s. And many debt instruments are linked to this rate, right? There's especially bank lending rates, oftentimes LIBOR plus a certain amount of basis points, right? So if it's LIBOR plus 200 and LIBOR is at 1%, it's a 3% rate, right? So LIBOR is very, very common within the industry. However, it's starting or has recently become the center of scandal, where LIBOR rates were kind of rigged, right? And there were fines, unfortunately. I don't think any jail time, sadly, but this was an area that regulators have seen as ripe for abuse based on these past issues. And so what they're phasing it out, and by the end of 2021, they're urging banks to no longer write any contracts that refer to LIBOR. So after 2021, LIBOR won't even really be published. And contracts using LIBOR should be wrapped up by June 30th, 2023. So we're talking 2.5 years. Now, what they're moving to is something called SOFR, the Secured Overnight Financing Rate. And what this does actually is it diversifies the rate, as opposed to London, LIBOR is to measure the borrowing rate offshore. And one of the issues is if that goes up, one single rate, that can mess with the interest rate on a lot of different instruments. And so their goal is to diversify the benchmark, right? Just like you've diversified the S&P over 500 companies, you're trying to diversify the benchmark on short-term borrowing rates for these contracts, right? And so that's really the main goal. I like the thought process, whether it is going to be executed well and will it remove the ability for abuse, right, to have banks and other intermediaries impact the rate. It's yet to be seen. But overall, I don't think it'll affect the average person very much, especially because most people focus on mortgage rate, for example, which typically is more tied to the 10-year treasury rate. Right, and that's a market rate, although you could say, you know, is the Fed manipulating the rate, et cetera? Certainly they will be, they have been, they are. But that's the Fed. And the Fed has the monopoly on creating and setting interest rates here in the United States. So interesting news, interesting transition, and we'll see how it goes. Now, I might have to play the question and finish the answer after the break, but let's keep things moving and go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question phoned in from a listener in Hawaii.
Yeah, Steve and Justin, this is Rick from Hawaii. And I'm looking at Home Depot and Lowe's, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were, which is a better prospect and an entry point for each of them. You have a great show, and keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Home Depot and Lowe's. Clearly, these are two companies, almost a duopoly in the industry when it comes to home improvement. And I like Lowe's. I think it has a better value. Long-term profitability is strong. And I like their stores are cleaner, better run. And once again, their profitability is very, very strong. So if I'm picking one, I'm definitely picking Lowe's over Home Depot. Now, the next InvestTalk, this story. Could precious metals be starting a 10-year bull market cycle? That story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART. If growing an e-commerce business is your focus, you will definitely need a platform that's focused on growth. So I am going to share some information with you right now. Knowing this will empower you and allow you to better position your brand, products, and services. In fact, I think you will be relieved to learn that there is a superior marketing platform built for you and ready now. I'm talking about Klaviyo, spelled K-L-A-V-I-Y-O. Klaviyo is the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for online brands of all kinds and all sizes. Whether you're just getting started or running a well-known brand, it gives you everything you need to send memorable branded emails, text messages, and more, so you can build strong relationships that keep your customers coming back. With flexible automations, powerful insights, and super precise targeting, Klaviyo is a faster way to turn great ideas into great customer experiences. That's why it's trusted by more than 40,000 brands. In fact, on average, Klaviyo customers see a 41% increase in overall revenue within 5 months. Klaviyo scales with you so you never have to switch. They support everything from garage startups to iconic billion-dollar brands. Are you motivated? Want to learn more about how you can grow your brand with Klaviyo? It's easy. Visit klaviyo.com/grow to get started with a free trial today. That's klaviyo.com/grow. Klaviyo.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Drew in North Carolina. He wants to talk about Master Limited Partnerships.
Hey, Justin. You and Steve and the whole team are godsends, just so you know.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Master Limited Partnerships, I've got some in my HSA and in my Roth IRA. Okay. That's a good idea, just the way they're taxed.
The answer is no. I'm not a tax professional, so you need to check with the CPA. But in tax-deferred accounts, if you get, I believe it's over $1,000 a year in income, you have to file separate tax returns on these limited partnerships. Have you looked into that?
Okay. I know that K-1s will be issued, mm-hmm. I think they're called, over that $1,000 threshold.
Yep, exactly. So that's really the issue there, where you're not really getting the tax advantage part, right? Because it's in an IRA or Roth IRA or some sort of workplace account, tax deferred account. So I would avoid it, owning these in tax deferred accounts of any kind, because of that, it just makes your life a lot more difficult. Now, if you want to make sure it's under $1,000, then you know that that may be another argument. But to me, we just avoid them in tax deferred accounts because of that reason. And yeah, I guess that's my take.
All right, I appreciate your answer.
No problem, Drew. Thanks for the call, and thank you for the kind words. Now, let's touch on the market. Right? November showed a pretty substantial rally, really across the board. For the month of November, the Russell 2000 was up 19%, nearly 19%, even after today's down day. And it's the biggest monthly gain since its inception more than 40 years ago. And it did much better than the S&P, which is up about 10% on the month. And if you look historically, there are a few issues, though, at least in the near term. One is the National Association of Active and Independent Managers exposure is at 106. Anything above 90 means kind of the market's overbought or overallocated to. Over 100 means excessive optimism, right? So many of the gauges of sentiment are at multi-year highs. Now, certainly markets and market participants are looking forward into 2021 post the vaccine, and the prospects for a return to normalcy. And many of the stocks that have been beaten down because of COVID are getting a bid, especially those in the Russell 2000. There's been a shift away, like I said before, away from large cap tech and internet related stocks to smaller cap names. Now, December, however, is historically a very strong month for equities. But when you have such a strong November, there's a little bit of caution. And if you look backwards, data shows that when you had monthly gains on the Russell over 11.5% or more, there was often a near-term retracement of those gains with a median drop of about 6% the following month. So when the 10-week rate of change of the Russell hits over that 10% mark, it also means that large caps are likely to outperform the near-term small caps. Now, since 1945, the S&P has had an average return of 1.5% in the month of December. That's the third best month there is. On top of that, the S&P has risen 73% of those times in the month of December. That's the highest frequency of any month. So December's most often the most bullish. Post-election Decembers are up 83% of the time, so even more bullish. But history suggests that because of the sharp rise in the S&P and in indices in the month of November, you're going to see a more muted December. Just giving you a little historical context and based on what is happening in the markets and what we're kind of seeing. So, you know, we haven't really broken out. If you look at the S&P, we haven't really broken out from the post-vaccine news from Pfizer or in early November. We're still actually below the highs of that day. Probably doesn't seem like it, but we are. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. Now, as you know, I like to fit in as many caller questions as possible. So let's grab this call from an InvestTalk listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Good afternoon. This is Carrie calling from Arkansas and was looking for some feedback and insight on the ticker symbol COLD, Americold. Was just going to listen to the podcast and see if we could hear if it was a good time to purchase this or to hold and wait. Thank you.
That's interesting. COLD. This is Americold Realty Trust. And this is an interesting REIT because it's the largest global owner and operator of temperature-controlled warehouses in the United States, based in Atlanta, Georgia. 85% of its revenues come from here inside the United States. It also has some operations in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Interesting. So it also has some logistics businesses as well. But mainly it's just a REIT. 2.5% yield. Take a look at the valuation here. The chart is pretty negative, but the REIT sector overall has been struggling over the past few months. So I'm not going to kill it for that. Now, enterprise value to EBITDA is about 22. Historically, now this has only been around public for a few years, but historically this is about average since it's gone public. So I would say it's not cheap. It's not expensive. Nice 2.4% yield. Let me look at the payout ratio. It's hard to tell because of such disruption in the market over the past couple of quarters. But revenues are consistently growing. I like that. 2007 funds from operation were 28 cents per share. This year is supposed to be $1.28. So I like that growth over this time period. It looks like they were public back then went private maybe, and came back public in 2018 based on what I'm seeing. So that's an interesting little story there. I like the business. Temperature controlled, you know, those are typically more expensive to get up and running and to maintain. And so there's probably less barrier to entry there for the business. Now, the 2.5% yield is solid, but not exciting. You know, I like it, but I don't love it. You know, it just doesn't get me juiced up, ready to allocate 2 or 3% of my portfolio into. Certainly an interesting name if it's cheap enough, but at modest valuations where it's not overvalued, undervalued, it just doesn't get me excited because it's not, there's no long-term secular great story here. And that's what I would want to see. So like it on your watch list, but at these prices, not quite the value yet. Around $27 to $28 a share, I think that's where I would really love to pick this up, but not at this moment. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. I encourage you to explore the finance and investment information we have posted on our website at investtalk.com. You can learn more about the various investment strategy opportunities we offer through KPP Financial. For example, Equity Income Plus. It's dividend investing with a boost. It's a covered call strategy. It means we hold only dividend-paying stocks, and then we add the extra boost of income by writing covered calls on those positions. So if you're a serious investor and you're serious about achieving financial freedom, you want to reach out to myself or Steve Peasley at our KPP Financial offices in Irvine, California. You can learn more right now at investtalk.com. But now I'm taking your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are the principals of KPP Financial, and they are independent financial advisors. This means they place their clients' interests ahead of the firm's. As part of that commitment, KPP Financial practices parallel investing, where Steve and Justin's accounts participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. You can learn more about parallel investing and the other KPP Financial programs at investtalk.com. The phone lines are open. Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call now, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dominic from San Diego. I wanted to get your thoughts on a mutual fund, ticker symbol EPGFX, Europac Gold Fund. I invested in it a few months back and wanted to get your thoughts on it. I see that it's kind of gone down a little bit. I originally purchased on it. Thanks, guys, for listening to your show. Bye.
All right, looking at Europac Gold A shares, EPGFX. Now, the first thing that I always look at is what share class is the mutual fund? And this one is an A share class, and not all A share classes have loads, but this one, it looks like, does, 4.5% load. So I definitely would not be buying any more of this. I would find something that is no sales charge. You shouldn't be paying loads anymore. Sales loads are passe. The only type of people selling these A-share mutual funds with these huge loads are bankers, usually. Right? If you open an IRA at your bank, your banker's going to earn some commission on it, et cetera, and they're going to put you in something like this. And they're just a salesperson, right? They're not really a financial advisor in that sense. And the industry's fighting over that, but that's a whole nother story. I digress. But this one is a solid fund. Morningstar gives it 4 out of 5 stars, so that's pretty solid. If you look at the portfolio as a whole, and you look at its top holdings, which I'm pulling up right now, Fortuna Silver is its top holding, 7.5% of the portfolio. I like that one. Agnico, Barrick Gold, Franco Nevada. Wow, 4 of our top gold holdings are held in this. So I like this. I like this mutual fund as a whole, but I would not buy this share class. Definitely not buy this share class. I'd be looking for something that does not have a load, and that goes for everybody out there. Stop buying mutual funds with a load. Now, you might have it in some sort of 401k or something as an option, and oftentimes the sales load is waived. So it's possible that you could do that. But the expense ratio is about 1.5%. That's very high. That's higher than our average client pays, and we're full service advisor. So, you know, I wouldn't pay that expense ratio. Usually the A shares, when you're paying a load, you're getting very low fees. This is above average. So I like the holdings. I just don't like the costs of this fund, and that's how it absolutely passed on it, right? Today, you can open up your own brokerage account, pay no commissions, buy the individual stock. Doesn't make sense to buy it through a mutual fund unless you're getting an exceptional manager, and in this case, the cost is just too high. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, so if you're going to call, you want to do it right now. Now, let's touch quickly on what looks to be the future Treasury Secretary, which is former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen. And she is actually a founding member of the Climate Leadership Council, and this is the International Policy Institute, and their goal is to implement a tax, carbon tax, as a way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, even backed by companies like BP, Exxon, and Shell. So certainly a lot of big businesses getting behind this, and the idea is that the initial carbon tax of $40 per metric ton will have a yearly increase of 5%. And this is slowly going to increase the cost of carbon in general. And to me, this goes along with what I expect to be the future of our government spending, right? Government getting into the way that our world looks and feels every single day, right? And we know, or certainly it's controversial to some degree about global warming, but I think everybody knows we have to do something about it. But how do you make effective policy that doesn't kill businesses but also gets to the end goal? And how the carbon tax will work is that it will be implemented across the energy supply chain. So anybody who supplies energy to the consumer. So the cost of energy is likely to go up. And that money will go to greener energy. So I do think there is a lot of opportunity in the green energy space. But a lot of people are focusing much more on the companies that are creating the products. But what I think is going to be a bigger challenge is going to be in the commodity space, in the metal space more particularly. Why? Because this is what is used to create these products, base metals. Caller earlier talked about copper. So if you're looking to gain exposure to that space, I think an underappreciated way of doing that is to gain exposure to the metals markets. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein, and we have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own particular version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, this is Brian in San Diego. Love the show. I have a question about stocks and ETFs and plays to do under a Biden administration. So I'm looking at DFEN, D-F-E-N. It's a 3x bull ETF. It'll do it defense stocks and companies that would profit heavily, well, I believe, under the cabinet that Joe Biden has put together and stuff like that. Or would you rather invest in those stocks individually, some of them that make up the company are Boeing, Raytheon, BAE, and Huntington Ingalls. Thank you, guys. Love the show. Bye.
All right, looking at DFEN, which is the 3x leverage to the aerospace and defense industry. And its top holdings are things like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Teledyne, etc. And I've said this before about this space. I don't like this space. I think the multiples here are extreme. I see our budget deficits and the direction of where policy is going, not only when it comes to spending more money on, you know, talking about MMT or money on medical programs, et cetera, but also the money within the military, I think, is going to be shifted more towards cyber warfare and less towards ships and guns and planes, etc. And so a lot of these names are very levered towards us buying, you know, new aircrafts every few years. So I just don't like this space in general. And I understand what you're saying, where Biden is one that tends to be more interventionist and more apt to maybe go to war or take military action than Trump has been. But I still don't see that being a big change. You know, there'll be some policy changes, geopolitical policy changes, but I don't see that meaning more and more spending on the military. In fact, I think it's going to be less, especially on guns. So I would pass on this completely, and it's a 3x leverage. So you don't want to be owning this for more than a couple of weeks, right? Any of these leveraged ETFs, double, triple leveraged ETFs, should never be held more than a few weeks. Now, I think we can fit one more caller question in that came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Josh from Glendora, California. I've been listening since March, and I have a question for you involving setting up an account for a minimal amount of money, like $2,000. Should it be a tax-deferred Roth IRA or a normal taxed account? I plan on not cashing out the money for at least a year. Thank you in advance for all your information, and thank you for your wonderful podcast. Have a good one. Bye.
I would say a Roth. I see no reason why you shouldn't put that in, you, unless you're in a very high tax bracket. But yeah, I think that's the only reason why I wouldn't do it that way. You know, with a Roth, you can take the money out, the contributions out, whenever you want. So that's a positive. And yeah, so I would definitely go with a Roth IRA. And go with one of the big brokers. Please don't go with Robinhood or these crazy small brokers. I know they have fun, cool apps. But go with one of the big guys. I see too many issues with these new brokers. And trading's free now. You get all the benefits of a big, safe broker with good customer service and consistent trading platforms, etc. and you get no fees, these trading fees. So I would encourage you to go that route as well. Thanks for the call. I think that will wrap it up for me today. I appreciate you all tuning in and spending this hour, 45 minutes with me. And I will return tomorrow. So in the meantime, please remember to tell your friends and family members that they can choose from over 100 archived InvestTalk podcasts for free over at Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, as well as InvestTalk.com. Please be sure to review and rate it as well. Now, if you want, you can listen live on our website as well every weekday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Just hit the Listen Live button over at InvestTalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.